Wow. Good afternoon, everyone. It is time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I hope you just heard that powerful word from the Lord and it with our dear brother and sister right before us. Powerful, powerful word. God bless every one of you as you tune in with us today. It's going to be a powerful day. And we are looking forward to this show. And that must be Angel on the phone, is it?
This is Angel.
All right. Okay. Glad to see you on the air. Well, not see you, but on the air. Yeah.
Good
absolutely.
To be here.
Yes, yes. Betty's running a little late. Nan's actually coming today to kind of be here and see what God does. And she just felt like God was supposed to send her here, that he sent her here. So that's good. So we're excited about today, Dr. Angel. It's going to be a great, great show. God's got so much in store for us on a daily basis. It just seems like every day there's new promises that come alive within us. There's new excitement about God working in our lives and in our daily activities. And what a joy to be able to serve him and serve him today on the air. You want to comment on any of that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, with God, every day is an adventure on our journey. It really is.
Boy, it is. Adventure is right. You know, and there's just so often we just have no clue what he's getting ready to do that day. And, you know, I'm anticipating blessings on every day, you know, and we start the day that way. God, what are you going to do? This is going to be cool. I can't wait to see what you have up your sleeve today. You know what I'm talking about, Angel?
Oh, I absolutely know what you're talking about. You know, I say it's an adventure because it is. You know, we never know what the next corner is going to bring. God knows. He sees the whole picture before him as it laid out. And
right.
Walking with him just keeps us safe and lets us know it's going to be okay. And he does. He has blessings in places we couldn't even imagine looking for them sometimes.
Oh, amen. And just how cool is that anyway, that we serve a God that keeps every day fresh, exciting. And when we approach the day expecting that God's got blessing in store for us, it's amazing everything that happens. I mean, God has just drawn me the last several hours today. I mean, I've had some really amazing time with him. But he drew me to a passage in Micah. Should have marked it in my Bible. It's not easy to find the book of Micah. So hang on just a minute. Here it is. It's Micah 7:7. Which is pretty cool. And here's what it says. But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Isn't that cool? But as for me, that's a declaration today. In one translation I read, it says, I expectantly wait, you know, for God. I watch and hope, and this in NIV says that, but the Message and some of the others, New American Standard says, I wait expectantly, you know, for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. That's a promise for somebody out there today. Micah 7:7, and how true that is for our lives. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, I love when, you know, verses are so personal like that. And he does hear us. And, you know, that waiting expectantly, I think that is probably a key. Because I think so many times we are expecting something bad to happen or negative things to happen. And we find those things because that's what we're expecting to happen. And
boy,
we need
you're
to
right.
be expecting what God is going to do and the blessings that he is going to pour so that we are looking and focusing for that instead of this negative, those negative things that we tend to expect to happen in our lives.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like we are around people that are extremely negative or that are always expecting the worst. And what I heard that those dear ones right before us say is let's begin to expect that God's going to move in our situation. You know, God's been saying that to me all day today, and I take it. I receive it, you know, and it's for every one of us that God wants us to be waiting expectantly, you know. My daughter-in-law, Candy, is waiting, and so is her husband, Mark, my son, expectantly, moment by moment now, for a little baby boy to arrive. And I don't say his name because I don't think they've settled on a name. So, but they are waiting. Do you remember when you were expecting your kids, Angel? I know when I was expecting mine, it's just like every day was like, wow, another day closer to holding that precious baby in my arms, you know?
Oh, yes, I do. And then once you start getting really close to the end, you're almost like, okay, it's time. Like, your patience is running out.
Right, exactly. And don't you think spiritually that that is the way it can be for us, too, that when we really believe that God is going to turn our situation around, and we begin to wait expectantly, expectantly look out for what God's going to do. Talk to me about that. Wow. Before we do this song.
No, I agree, you know, because he is. God has birthed a plan for each of our lives and for each of us personally. It's individual. And it's expecting. It's like a baby growing in us. And each day is developing that purpose that God has for us in his divine will. And so, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time before we really can see it in our human eyes, but
right.
It's there in the spiritual eyes.
Boy, it is. So we are going to expect a great show today. We know that God is going to move mightily here. I just have really assurance today that there are some people that are going to get answers to some questions they have. Maybe some are going to receive their physical or emotional healing today. There are all kinds of blessings in store for this hour. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity right now to be live on the air, originating here from Clearwater, Florida, around the globe. God, we thank you for this opportunity because we don't take it lightly. We take it very seriously that you want to do some powerful things, not just in our lives that are here on the show today, but on our listeners' lives scattered everywhere. Lord, you know who needs to hear what you have to say to them today. Lord, let ears be open, let hearts be receptive, and let us receive what you have in store for your people today. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, this we pray, amen and amen. He is the everlasting God. Love it. Take his strength right now.
Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. You reign forever. Our strong deliverer.
never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
Whoa. Amen and amen. If you just joined us, it's Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Betty, you just joined us. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How are you doing, Pastor? Hi, Angel.
Hey.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice, Betty. I know you've been out on the road, and I'm glad you're back to a place where you can join us. That's great.
Yes, ma'am.
Nan walked in today. She said God just told her to come here, so we may hear from her periodically with a poem or something. You know how she is. You know what God does, so you never know. So it's we got quite a crew here on board today. This is an exciting day because we are absolutely we are going to be really imparting some wisdom today that's going to help so many of our listeners. We're going to start in Genesis 25. We are talking about a lot of things today, but in particular, we're talking about actions that happen in our lives that we do or happen to us that have a lot of consequences and or blessing. And we're going to start with a story about Jacob and Esau. We're in our Precious Promises series still. We're on part 8. We have no idea how many parts there will be because we let the Holy Spirit really direct. And before we get to Genesis 25, verse 19, we want to invite you to text or send an email during the show right now. If you send an email, it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. What these emails would be or texts would be a prayer request. If you need prayer during the show live today, we want to offer that. And the text number comes directly to my phone, and that's 727-888-4171. The easiest way to reach us really is using the text, 727-888-4171. If you want prayer during the show, what we'll do is get your information, and then later on in the show, we will be praying for those who have written in and let us know that they need a touch from God in some area of their lives. This is not any particular area. It's every area, whatever's going on in your life that you need a touch from God. And before we start here in Genesis, Betty, I want you to comment on that as one of the leaders of our prayer group, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Do you want to comment on why this is important that we're offering this now?
Well, I believe that Jesus is wanting us to communicate with him. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
You're fine. You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, good. one of the things I think that Jesus wants us to do, as I said previously, is that Jesus wants us to communicate with him.
Right.
Prayers change things.
Yes.
Prayer changes situations.
Right.
Prayer changes people. And I think that one of the greatest things that we can do is communicate with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Through email.
Right.
And it's so important.
Did you say kneemail? K-N-E-E?
Mm-hmm.
Kneemail.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Kneemail.
All right.
It's the one of the first ways that we had to communicate with God, you know, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, is that's how we communicate with our Heavenly Father, is
through
prayer.
Yes.
And it's so, you know, there's so much, it just seems like so much going on in our lives and
In
the world that, you know, we need to be more on our knees now than we have in the past.
Right.
And we're going to see marvelous things happen in the next few days, weeks, months to come due to the power of prayer.
Amen and amen. I couldn't agree more. So we invite you to use our text number 727-888-4171 during this show. Then we'll pray for your needs later on. Jacob and Esau, these were the twins that were born to Isaac and Rebekah. This is the family tree of them. And Abraham, this is verse 19 of Genesis 25. Abraham had Isaac eventually after 25 years of waiting. So Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 and his wife Sarah was 90. Isaac was 40 years old when he married. Don't know why he waited that long. Seems unusual for the customs of the times, but he did. And he married Rebekah, and we've talked about that in previous shows. And in verse 21, Isaac prayed hard to God for his wife because she was barren. I find this very interesting that Isaac's wife, Rebekah, had a hard time conceiving, just like Abraham's wife, Sarah, had a hard time conceiving. So kind of interesting situation there. God answered his prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant. The children tumbled and kicked inside her so much that she said, if this is the way it's going to be, why go on living? And, you know, she was in a lot of pain and there was a lot of kicking and tumbling around and all of that. So Rebekah goes to God to find out what is going on. God told her this in about verse 23. Two nations are in your womb, two peoples butting heads while still in your body. One people will overpower the other, and the older will serve the younger, which is going to be a very important point here. And then she gave birth, and there were twins in her womb. And the first one, Esau, was born with kind of reddish hair. They called him a hairy man. And his brother Jacob was born hanging on to the heel of his brother Esau, and his fist was tightly clenched around Esau's heel. Important point here. Isaac was 60 years old, and probably Rebekah was 40-ish, something like that, maybe 30-something. It's hard to say. So talk to me about this, Angel, because it's so cool here that God told Rebekah in advance that she was carrying twins, and that's why all the craziness going on in her womb. It's so God and his prophetic ability to tell us what is going to happen always amazes me. We live in it, in the prophetic of God, but it is always amazing that God sees ahead and knows what's best for us and knows what's going to happen. Do you want to discuss that, Angel?
Well, I think what was so cool, too, is you're talking about a day and time where women knew nothing about their pregnancy.
Right.
You know, so to get that inside information, I think had to be a pretty cool thing to have.
Right.
And especially like twins, there's two, like we couldn't have them. We're getting like double blessings here.
Right. Yeah, look how God blessed too. And it's interesting that it is set up in the womb that these two men eventually would be conflicting against each other forever, really. And actually, Esau is the father of the what we know as the Jordanians now. And Jacob would be the father of what we know as the Israelites. So, I mean, this battle, this war, this struggle between them is still going on. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, I think you look back and you think the struggle, if it started in the womb,
right?
It was going to, you know, keep the lineage going. It's just going to keep going on and on and on,
right?
Until someone becomes the victor,
right?
And it's amazing how, you know, God prepares us in advance for some of the things that may progress, you know, later on in our life,
right?
And
he's
so good about being and helping us to be prepared,
right?
And I think that something that we sometimes we take for granted is like, you know, why am I going through this? Why am I doing this? Why is this happening? Well, he's preparing us. He's preparing us, I think, for something greater, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. That's really a good point. And it is amazing that sometimes he lets us in on a little portion of what's going to happen and basically says, just trust me in this. It's going to be okay. Talk to us, Angel.
I think that's cool that he does that. And it's in his infinite wisdom that he gives us bits and pieces to hang on to. I think that helps to build our faith.
It does.
First of all, I mean, here we are barren again, and now we're pregnant. Double blessing. And, like, to know that is like, okay, she's probably worried when she felt all that craziness going on inside her body.
Yeah.
And maybe she was thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, something wrong with my babies. Like, what's happening? And so to have that was like, okay, I've got this. It's going to be okay. And I think it was a reassurance. And God does that.
Oh, yes. Don't you think God does that so often to us or with us, Angel, that he gives us some type of a like a secret look into the future, or just a knowledge, a peace that it's all going to be okay, or his plan is happening. You know, talk to me about that, Angel, then we'll go to Betty about that.
Well, yeah, I think he does do that, and I think we need that, you know, because we get insecure and we aren't sure, and we tend to go to worst case scenarios, or
yes,
we tend
to
think the bad is happening, and, you know, and by God, just letting her know it's okay. Here's why you're feeling what you're feeling. He gave her an explanation. He didn't have to give her anything, but he did. I think that's just so much empathy for us as people.
Oh, I agree.
You know, he really cares about what we were worried about.
He does. He does. Say that again, and I'm going to have Nan ring a bell in there. Say that again. He cares about what?
He really cares about what we're worrying about.
Uh-huh. Ring that bell, because I know he does. I know he does. Wait a minute. She rang it, but I didn't have her mic on. Ring it again. Yeah, there you go. He really does care about what we're going through and what we're worrying about. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, he is he's most loving and caring Heavenly Father. He's a good, good father.
Oh, yeah.
Good fathers care about their children.
Right.
You know, he leads us. He guides us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't listen, but, you know, he's giving us hope. He's giving us the faith to stand and stand strong when things, you know, when fear kind of creeps in, when we think that, you know, we're alone, that nobody cares what we're going through. He does care.
He does.
And again, that's what, that you know, that song about Chris Tomlin's good, good father is so right on, because he does care.
He does.
He cares about the smallest things. He cares if you have, and I know this sounds so trivial, but, you know, it's just like when kids get boo-boos, you know, he cares about the boo-boos. He cares about the financial hardships that we're going through.
Right.
He cares about our health issues. He cares, I mean, even so much as, hey, I'm losing my home, God. What are you going to do? Where are you going to intervene? And he gives us that hope to hang on, to say,
yes,
hey, help is on the way. You
right.
know, he's the best caregiver. He's the best. He's the best of the best. You couldn't ask for anyone else. If you wanted a coach of your team, you want him as your coach. You want him
at the head
of everything that you do. You want him as the nucleus of your relationship.
Yes.
Like I say, it doesn't get any better than the good, good father that we have.
Ah, amen. Couldn't agree more. Let's look at that prophecy one more time here in about verse 23 of Genesis 25, if you're just now joining us. Two nations are in your womb, is what God told Rebecca. Two peoples butting heads while still in your body. One people will overpower the other, and the older will serve the younger. How important is it, Angel, that God laid out this whole scenario, do you think? How important is that?
Well, first of all, I think it's very important. Anytime God's giving us detailed information about our future or purpose or kids, that's pretty important.
Yeah.
And, you know, thought came to me is, it's kind of a reassurance to her, like, not only are your babies going to be okay, but they're going to be men. Like, they're going to make it. They're going to be strong, and they're going to thrive. And they're a part of my plan. Like, I have a plan now. Like, to me, that's, like, super cool.
That's huge. That's huge. And they are part of the plan of the message of Jesus coming through. And we're going to find out that one has one plan and the other has another plan. But they, yes, are part of the plan. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns, Until the Whole World Hears. A wild song here, right?
Lord, I want to feel with your heart, see the world through your eyes. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to live a life that shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Oh, ready yourselves, ready yourselves. May the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name. Giant rise, catch the demons by surprise. Holy nation sanctified, let this be our battle cry. Ready yourselves, ready yourselves. Let us shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night.
Jesus and less of us. Great song. Some of the words in that song. Ready yourselves. Let us shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. One of these young men was, it was through his line that Jesus, the Messiah, would come, and the other young man would not be a part of that blessing. And we're going to talk today about Jacob and Esau in light of people's character, and also, interestingly enough, right here, and I want both of you to give me your input here, look at verse 24. When her time came to give birth, there were twins, and as we said, one was Esau, one was Jacob. And as you go down into verse 27, the boys grew up and Esau became an expert hunter, an outdoorsman. Jacob was a quiet man, preferring life indoors among the tents. Isaac loved Esau because he loved his game. Interesting. Isaac was drawn to Esau because Esau was a hunter and he brought back delicious food. That's interesting. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, we're going to talk about an event with these two young men, but I want us to look at their lives and how they grew up. Even though they were twins, came out, they were born at the same time, right? Yet both of them very, very different young men, okay? Esau was one who wanted to be out killing things and you know, doing all of that, and hunting, and that was his nature. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying it's very different in contrast to his brother Jacob, who loved to be around his mom. Remember, his mom was given the prophecy of who would be the one that would serve the other. His mother, Rebekah, knew that. Heads up. She had a heads up here. And she had a chance, I believe, to really cultivate Jacob's life with a knowledge of God and all of that. So talk to me about that, Angel, and then we'll get Betty's take on that. I just was studying this today, and I felt like, you know, wait a minute, there's more here. Rebekah had extreme influence over Jacob versus what happened with Esau. So talk to us, Angel.
You know, right, she did, and it's funny because sometimes as parents, we kind of tend to favor the kid who has similar interests to us.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that could be, you know, how... And, you know, with Esau being the oldest, and, you know, that's a huge deal in their custom because
right.
The oldest, you know, was the one. And, you know, so it did give Rebekah an opportunity to, without it looking weird, to cultivate and nurture him. And he might have been, you know, more emotional, more heartfelt kind of guy than had he gone out and became the hunter and, you know, like his brother was.
Yes.
And I think that really shaped his ability to have his heart open for God during his life.
Oh, I agree. And we also know that Esau married the Canaanite women. He had a couple wives right away, probably at a very young age. Jacob was not married till later on. But Esau really did what Isaac and Rebekah probably did not want him to do, and that is go after women from countries where they did not worship God and they were idolaters, which is an interesting aspect of Esau's character. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, I think that looking at it from a twin perspective, you have twin great grandbabies.
I do.
My son-in-law and his brother are twins.
Right.
One is older than the other, but you know they have different characteristics.
They do.
They have different emotions. They have a different. There's always a differential. You can always, you know, they may look alike. They may dress alike.
Right.
But they have their differences. And
yes,
their
characteristics
they do. Are totally different.
Right.
And one of the things that you look at with Esau and Jacob is that because God had prepared, the mom knew. The mom.
Yes.
Moms just have this inclination about them.
Yes,
know,
we do.
which ones are going to be this way? And moms have this inclination to know who's going to go this way.
Right.
So when mom accepted Jacob,
right.
I think father accepted Esau. I
right.
mean, it's just part of being a mom and a dad. I was only blessed with one, but I can see this through other twins that I have had, you know, had friendships with or whatever. And one just seemed to favor the other.
Mm-hmm.
And we know why, you know, as we get on into Genesis of why, you know, what's going to happen here. But it's just, to read the story and to understand twins, you'll understand this story even more because it's just amazing what has happened in Genesis in chapter 25. I mean,
it really is.
Things just roll out and you know she knows ahead of time what's going to happen.
She does. The mom knows. You
and
know.
So does Isaac.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And it's like with my little twins. Yeah, they're almost four years old, but there's definite differences, even though most people cannot tell them apart. Yet in their personalities, there are definite differences, likes and dislikes, etc. Quite interesting. Talk to us about that counselor, Angel, who is a licensed mental health counselor and PhD. You got some insight into people's character and people that have twins, etc. And just speak to us on all that.
Well, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, each person is an individual.
Amen.
Twins or no twins, they share the same exact genetic makeup, but yet there is still such differences in personality, the way their character, the way they respond to things, their likes, their dislikes.
Right.
And, you know, Jacob from the beginning was kind of a baby of strength and perseverance. I mean, he was grabbing onto his brother, like,
yeah.
You know, as he was born, he kind of had that perseverance spirit.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and that carries him throughout his journey, and it's a vital part of him finding God the way he finds God.
Exactly.
Perseverance to just press in and keep going.
Yes. So important. I mean, yeah, you see him in the womb, comes out of the womb, holding on to the heel of his brother, like, don't leave me behind. Here I come, you know. I find it very interesting. We don't know a lot about Rebecca, but we know that she knew what God had told her. She actually goes to God, if you remember, back up here in about verse 23 or 22, and says to God, what's going on? Why is all this tumbling and kicking going on the inside of me? And that's when God lets her in on the plan and what's going to happen. And God knew in advance that this day would come that we're about to talk about here in Genesis 25. God knew in advance, and there were no surprises here. And he let Rebecca in on it. And so, therefore, I believe Rebecca was preparing Jacob along the way. Betty, you have any comments on that?
Again, God is the preparer of our hearts. He's the preparer of our lives.
Right.
He knows before we know. I mean, he knows every hair on our head. I mean, he's all knowing. And he knew what was happening. So he thought, well, if I know, maybe I need to let her know too.
Right.
It surprises me that sometimes there are no surprises with God, because God gives us everything that we need.
Right.
And he gives us the opportunity to be blessed and to understand that he is in charge no matter what the circumstances are. He is in charge.
Absolutely he is. And you know, there is a process. The word process has really been coming to me a lot lately, and we see this here. The process of these two little babies becoming nations started in the womb. The process began with God telling Rebecca, here's what's going on. And I do believe, the more I've been studying this in the last few days, that Rebecca set out to enhance what Jacob was going to have to accomplish, preparing him, I think. Angel, talk to me about this and how important it is as parents that we do our best to prepare our kids for the future and for their relationship with the Lord.
Well, absolutely vital that we, as parents, prepare our kids for their future in their relationship with God. You know, as a therapist, it's one of the biggest conflicts that I am seeing with our generation of young adults is that they haven't been prepared, and
right.
they aren't able to handle that adulthood transition well, and they're struggling. And so that's kind of our duty. And I think that's why God gave her, here's a plan, here's a purpose, because that cultivation throughout his entire life is vital to him becoming who he needs to become.
Exactly. And that doesn't mean that Jacob always made wise choices and was perfect. It's not that, because none of us are perfect and we are all in process. But there was a heads up that God gave Rebecca about Jacob. And we're going to see this born out here. Verse 27 in Genesis 25, The boys grew up, and we know what happened to their lives. And one day, Jacob was cooking a stew. This is interesting. This is the first mention of any man cooking in the Bible. And fascinating. Jacob loved to cook. He hung out in the tents. He was probably an avid reader. He probably, just grew stronger as he learned wisdom from his mother and his father. But anyway, Esau comes in from a hunt. He's starved. And he says to Jacob in verse 29 of Genesis 25, "Give me some of that red stew. I'm starved." And that's how he got his nickname. Red was his nickname, Edom. And the Edomites were always at a war with the Jews as time went on. So that's interesting right there. Verse 31, Jacob said, "Make me a trade, my stew for your rights as the firstborn." Now, this was a huge deal because the birthright, which meant the first son that was born, the birthright was given to that son because that was the first one, okay? The birthright enabled that person to be blessed of the father, of their earthly father, with two-thirds of all that the father had. I mean, come on. This is huge. The rest of it was divided between the other siblings. Find this very interesting that Jacob is astute enough to say, "Here, I'll trade you your rights as the firstborn for some of my stew." And Esau said, "I'm starving. What good is a birthright if I'm dead?" Jacob said, "Swear this to me," and he did. On oath, Esau traded away his rights as the firstborn. Jacob gave him bread and the stew of lentils. In other words, bean soup, vegetable soup, something like this. He ate and drank, got up and left. And then the last sentence is extremely important. That's how Esau, this is the Message Bible, shrugged off his rights as the firstborn. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, you know, Esau definitely was a man of the moment.
There you go, a man of the moment, okay.
He was. It was just, he couldn't see the big picture or the long term. I think he wanted this now satisfaction.
Uh-huh.
I think we live in a culture that lies to us that we need this now satisfaction. And what are we exchanging for our now satisfaction? Are we like Esau?
Right. Interesting. Very good. Betty, talk to us. Man of the moment.
A man of the moment. Yes, I think that if we look at it from today's perspective, is that sometimes we want something so bad. It's just like, you know, Esau needed something to eat.
Right.
And he gave up his birthright for something to eat. So he traded off. He needed something that desperately. He needed something to eat. Well, I'll trade you my birthright. What good is the birthright if I'm dead?
Right.
And you have to look at it from a perspective of, did he really know what he just gave away? Was he overcome in the moment of, you know, with hunger? He was ravishingly hungry because, you know, that's what starving means. You're ravishingly hungry. He gave away something that he didn't feel like was even worth the effort. Because he didn't know, I don't know, maybe it was out of ignorance. I'm looking at it from my perspective. I don't know how you both feel.
Well,
sometimes we give up stuff.
Right.
Because we want something else. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yes, absolutely. And here you see Esau shrugged off his rights. I think that word there originally in the Hebrew is talking about that he did not value his birthright. Wasn't important to him. So what? Well, I'll get something from God, from my dad. You know, I may not get the birthright, but, I'll get something, you know. Talk to us about that, Angel.
Well, you know, Esau just lived life in his own terms. He
right.
married who he wanted. You know, it wasn't about, you know, his faith or his family or his culture. He just did what he wanted when he wanted. And so it's kind of really not a surprise he was willing to be like, okay, forget it. I want this, and you can have all that rest. Because
right.
he didn't seem to care. You know, it was just, he lived life in his own terms, without any long thought, you know, just for that moment of gratification and satisfaction.
Yeah.
And it's huge. And it's, I don't know how many times we do that.
Oh, I think we do that a lot. And I think that a lot of people grow up not valuing character traits, how important it is that we develop an attitude of it's important to me that I change and become like Jesus. I think a lot of people don't value that. And here we see he shrugged it off. Esau was just like, it's no big deal. You know, we are in process. You know, I'm going back to that word again. And so often we forget that the things that are happening to us are crossroads points. You know, we did a series last year called Right at the Fork. You know, there's so many times we have a fork event in our life, and it's very important the path we choose. Talk to us, Betty, about that. And we're going to do a song here in just a minute.
Well, I did a little bit of research this afternoon, and he threw away his religious privileges for a trifle. And he threw away something, and I'm going to give you an example of that. So many years back in my own life, my mom passed and went to be with the Lord, and there was a family feud going on because my brothers didn't feel like that some things that mom cherished weren't important to them. All they saw was the money. So
yeah.
you can see the correlation there is that Esau had a privilege that was granted to him, but he didn't really care. He threw it away. He threw it away to me recklessly, and that's what people do, is that they take something someone else is valuable. It's like someone else's trash is someone else's treasure. An old saying that my mom used to say, and because she dealt in junk. And it's so
right.
important to realize that when you have something that someone else thinks is a treasure, it may, you know, like it was to Esau, it wasn't privileged. Esau didn't care because he saw something else. I don't know, his mind saw something else ahead of his own birthright. Does that make
right.
sense? I know what I'm
yeah.
trying to say, but I'm having
no,
a hard time
no, I saying. Think, you know, I do, I get it. And I do believe that so often we don't value, especially when we're young, the character traits of honesty, integrity, good communication, etc. When we are from the time we are in the womb on, we are in the potter's hand. And I want to play that song right now because I think it will help us understand the importance of really allowing God to do the makeover and the work in us. And then I'm going to come to you, Angel, right after that about this whole concept. Potter's hand.
Captured by you.
Love that song. Love that song. Lead me, guide me, mold me by the potter's hand. Let God do the work in us. Talk to us, angel. Are you there, angel?
Sorry. Yes, God is doing that work in us, and we have to have our heart open to him and humble to him. And, you know, I think Esau rejecting his birthright was a rejection of God.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And
everything
yes. spiritual. And
I agree.
Kind of Hebrews chapter 12, around verse 14 or so, they talk about make sure that no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for the weeds of bitter discontentment. A thistle or two gone to a seed can ruin the whole garden in no time. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite.
Oh, that is good. Hebrews what is that?
That's Hebrews chapter 12, around verse 14.
Hebrews 12, 14. Wow, that's very good. Nan's got a poem here that she got during that song. Let's see what God said to her, and then we'll go to Betty here.
Precious little one, I know where you are. Please be assured that I am in control. You are a vessel in my potter's hands. I will certainly make you completely whole. I have so much love for you, little one. Trust me that everything will be okay. Look to me with dedicated trust when you look to me and pray. I am the potter of your life and will help you in all ways. Look to me for all the answers you need, for today can be a new day. I am with you.
Praise God. All right. Wow, that's good. That's really good. And that sums up what we're talking about. Betty, give us a comment here before we get up to the top of the hour. Didn't realize the first hour is going by that quick, but go ahead, Betty.
Well, I think that, you know, even back during Esau and Jacob's time, that there was a presence of Almighty God, that all of their days are held in your hands.
Right.
And part of that song. And I believe that God knows the plans that he has for each of us.
Yes, I do. I agree.
And even Jacob and Esau were created in God's image.
Yeah.
No matter which ways they went, God had a plan for them, and he was going to see them through. And that's what God does for us today. He has a plan for each of us. We may not see it before our very eyes, but we just have to have faith and hope that, you know, God, especially in us, God is going to see us through no
Amen.
Matter what.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to resume this conversation and take it a little deeper in our second hour. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in our 11th year on the air every single Sunday afternoon at this time. And it's a joy to be able to bring the Word of God to you consistently. We just started something new last week, and that is letting you text in any prayer requests that you want us to pray out loud on the air. We've just gotten one in, and we will be praying for that person towards the end of our second hour. But you have plenty of time to send a prayer request. And we will take those requests to the throne of God. And that is texting directly to my phone, 727-888-4171. One more time, write that number down, 727-888-4171. That comes directly to my phone. Angel, we're getting ready to talk more about character here in this second hour. And you and I do a show on Thursday nights. Would you talk about that briefly, what we do and what time and how they can find it?
Well, you can find Go Yard, which is our life coaching show, and just helping people learn to live life and live it well, give them great practical tools to get through, on this station Thursday nights at 6 o'clock.
Amen. And it's interesting because people can call in with their comments or questions, right? And we'll answer that on the spot.
Yes. They can call in, email in. We get text in. We get all kinds of responses in lots of ways, and that's always exciting.
It is exciting. It really is. So we encourage you to make use of that show Thursday night, 6:06 p.m., with Dr. Angel and my other name, me, Mama Mac, and... our goal there is to just really help you with the things going on in our lives. We've done so many different shows on boundaries, shows on domestic violence. We just did a series on the value of friendship. We have a new series starting this Thursday, 6:06 p.m. right here on tantalknetwork.com. And if you have any prayer requests, Betty, give them the address and tell them what happens if they send in a prayer request at any time, 24/7, 365.
Well, one of the things that we have the option of having is a email address that you can send your prayers to at prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Yes.
And Pastor Jim, Shell, and myself will see that request. We will type up a prayer underneath that request, and 50-some prayer warriors will go to battle, will go to the throne of glory on your behalf.
Amen.
And your request. We ask that if you do have a praise report, send that in too.
Yeah.
Pastor Jim and I keep record of, I'm sure Shell does too, of all the praise reports that come in after the prayers are answered by our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be able to have someone you know that will pray. And prayers@bohmglobal.com, we do pray.
Amen. Station ID.